I want to give you what's been on my heart and what's on my mind tonight. I'm afraid we miss some things sometimes, and that gets us in trouble. Look in verse 18 of Proverbs chapter 29. The Bible said, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You can be seated tonight. Lord, I come to you tonight. I pray you'd help us while we might preach. We certainly need a touch from heaven. I need you to come by. And if you don't help us tonight, we ain't going to get any help. And if you don't just help our hearts, we're going to miss this message tonight. Lord, if you don't help my mouth tonight and my head and my heart, I'm going to preach this wrong. And we're going to miss the whole meaning of it. And I pray tonight that we'd each find encouragement and not to go tell others about you. Help us while we might preach now. Save somebody that's lost, but that your people might find help for this in Jesus' name. Amen. I told you this morning that as I went to the meeting last night that I pretty well got my wagon loaded. And I love having my wagon loaded, I do, because I'm glad God still deals with my heart and still helps me. But I had considered this verse while the preacher was preaching last night, and I thought about this, and I really wondered if this is what God would have me to preach tonight, and I really believe it is on that part right there. He talks about where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And we make the application here in the vision of God's Word. If you miss God's Word, then there's perishing that's going to happen. We have no doubt of that. We understand that he makes a contrast there. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And tonight, if I could, for just a minute or two, ask us about our vision, and that is a Christian and as a church. Where there is no vision, the people perish. As a church, where are we headed? As a church, what is the direction that we're trying to get to in our life? As a Christian, where are you headed? God just didn't leave us here. And that just to live our life for ourselves and then wait for the undertaker one day to place us in the ground and the preacher preach over us and say he or she lived a good life and that's it. No, he's got a plan. I'm not a Calvinist, but God does have a plan for your life tonight. And I think he wants us to serve him. I believe that with all my heart tonight. When he talks about where there is no vision, the people perish, that word vision is talking about the act of seeing or actual sight. I understand that when the Bible talks about those in the Old Testament and some in the New Testament that had received visions from God, that revelation of God that supernaturally comes to them by the aid of the Holy Spirit. And we understand John saw visions, Daniel saw visions, Joseph had visions, we understand that, but he's given us a completed word tonight. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about where there is no vision, the people perish. I truly believe tonight that we can say that when we're a Christian and that we're a church with no vision, people around us are perishing. I can remember a time when I kept tracks in my vehicles and in my pockets and everywhere I went, but something happened and that I slowly quit doing that. What happened? You say, well, you decided not to do it. And that's right. It was my decision not to do that. Somewhere I let the devil talk me out of what I needed to be doing. Somewhere I've went in restaurants and wished that I'd have had a track in my hand. And God said, see, if you'd have been ready, you could have given out a track right here. Sometimes we don't have the vision that we need to have. And sometimes it's a vision to see far enough off to understand that, hey, we may be around some lost people and we need to be prepared and that to tell them about Christ. Ain't you glad somebody told you about Jesus Christ, the Savior, tonight? I'm still glad that I grew up in a Christian home. I'm glad that I had Sunday school teachers that taught us about the salvation plan of God. I'm glad that there was men stood behind a pulpit and preached the truth of the gospel to me. And one day, God moved upon my heart. I'm glad there was a day that He knocked on my door and showed me that I was lost and come to where I was. But when we have Christians with no vision and churches with no vision, friend, then people all around us are perishing. Two things tonight. I want us to have a vision. I'm sure there's more, but I just want to preach this tonight because I want to give you time for it to sink in. And I don't want to be long, but I want it to get on your heart and on my heart tonight. Friend, that this church is never going to go anywhere until we see lost people. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's going to be the status quo. And I tell people all the time, I love the status quo in my life. I went to see the dentist the other day. He said, "How's things going?" I said, "It's the status quo." And I like that. I don't like change. But I'm afraid in churches and in our own life, that friend, that we're living on the status quo and wanting God to do something different than what He's already doing. You ever think for God to do something different, we're probably going to have to do something different. I'm not saying that there's some new way. I'm telling you that me and you just need to be able to see lost people in their sin and tell them about Christ. And that'll make a difference in their life. Because that's what's made a difference in yours tonight. Two things I want to look at tonight. Starting number one, where there is no vision, the people perish. When we lose the vision of the gospel, people perish. I want you to take your Bible tonight and go over the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And the Apostle Paul tells us over there, he said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And I'm going to read some more, but let me stay right there for just a second. Notice that the people that don't know God, that Satan has blinded their minds. He is, but they have no vision of what Christ can do for them. Listen, I'm glad tonight that I know Him, and I know Him personally tonight. But friend, I'm telling you what a difference. You say sinners, when they want to get saved, they'll come to God. Hey, listen, if somebody don't tell them the beloved gospel, the precious gospel of Christ, that Jesus died for them and rose again for them, and He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Hey, listen, if we don't tell them, how will they get saved tonight? Listen, Romans chapter 10 talks about over there, how shall they hear except they have a preacher. Listen, unless somebody tells them, how are they going to believe in what they don't know tonight? Paul said, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness." You know what the cure is, and that for darkness and for blindness, and that's light tonight. And He said it shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He said, look, it's not about us. Listen tonight, I'm telling you, I do invite folk to church. I do still witness. If I don't misunderstand me, well, I said a few minutes ago, I've slacked up on it. And God, hey, God, help me tonight. And that to be a soul winner. Hey, to have a vision that people are dying around us. One of my prayers it used to be, and I got away from it, is God, show me lost people around me. Show me lost souls that I can give a tract to. Listen, that I can just tell somebody and that about what Christ can do for them. I'm going to tell you tonight, I understand that God can affect folks' hearts. I know that. I know that He can deal with people. I understand that. I'm not a Calvinist tonight. I'm really not. I know that folk can come to their self and see their self as a sinner tonight. But how much of a better chance of it if somebody will help them? Amen. The last time you told anybody about Christ. Do we keep the gospel on the forefront? We sing that old song, how the Redback Book sometimes living in the shadow of the cross. Do we do that? You know, Pastor and I get worried about discipling, what we call discipling sometimes, and trying to just hold the church together and trying to, you know, just have a good meeting when we come in. I worry about just having a good meeting and all these things. And I guess that's the worry that I have. But friend, I'm telling you tonight, if we've missed the gospel, then we've missed the mark. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. If we forget, if we don't see the gospel tonight, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it is that what saves people, there's people going to perish all around us. You say, that's very personal. Sure, it's very personal, but friend, I'm telling you, they're perishing around us. And this thing's about to show up, and this thing's about to come to an end. I thought about what Jesus saw there in Mark chapter 6. And right before He fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus, when He came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were sheep not having a shepherd. And He began to teach them many things. He saw them and had compassion on them. Ain't you glad somebody had compassion on you? You remember the story of the Good Samaritan? After it talked about how that the priest went by on the other side, he looked at the one that was coming down to Jericho, going down to Jericho, and he was left. He was caught by robbers, and he was stripped of everything. And the Bible said that he was left half dead. And the Bible said that a priest come by and looked at him and went by on the other side. A Levite come by and looked at him and come by and went by on the other side. Those that were religious, those that should have had care for him, I did not. But it was that Samaritan that come by that had. And the Bible said when he saw him, he had compassion on him. When's the last time that you looked at it from this viewpoint right here that we're having compassion on people? When we tell them about Christ Jesus the Lord. You know what compassion really means? And this is a Mark Latham terminology right here. Is that you put yourself in somebody else's shoes. And what would you want them to do for you? That's having compassion on them. I'm glad Christ Jesus the Lord had compassion on me. But don't you want to have compassion on people? He said, preacher, they're just old sinners. Yeah, they're just old sinners that need to get saved. They don't know no better. When's the last time you've seen a lost soul? He said, where there is no vision, the people perish. Can I tell you tonight that if we lose sight of lost people, that this church will just perish in itself? There's churches all around us perishing right now because, listen, they don't see lost people. And if they do see lost people, sometimes giving them a false gospel and a false hope, I'm going to tell you, they're going to have to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's the only one that can make a difference in them. And He's going to make a difference in you tonight. I mean, people all around us are perishing. And Jude put it like this. He said, and if some have compassion, making a difference. There that word is again, compassion. Well, people ain't going to think that it's compassion, but it is. He said, another saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Listen, you know what? When that fellow found himself half dead on the side of the road, that good Samaritan didn't have to go over there and tell him that he was in the ditch. No. He knew it. Some sinners know where they're at. Some sinners know the shape that they're in. But some do not. Some need to be told, hey, Jesus loves you. But if you pass up on His love, then hellfire and damnation is coming to get you one day. Some people don't want to get saved simply because they don't think they can live it. And what we have to tell them is, no, you can't live it. But boy, when Christ is inside of you, He'll help you live that Christ-like life. When we lose sight of the gospel, when we lose sight of Jesus and what He done at Calvary, then we're losing sight of the sinner. When we lose sight of the gospel, we're losing sight of the sinner. He said, where there is no vision, the people perish. I don't want to ever lose sight of the gospel. I want you to take your Bible tonight and go to the book of 2 Kings tonight. 2 Kings chapter 7. So how can we find the gospel? And just go over here with me to 2 Kings 7. We found it in the book of Leviticus chapter 14 this morning, didn't we? Amen. You find anything, I'm telling you, Leviticus is a hard book to read sometimes. 2 Kings chapter 7. There is a famine in Samaria at this time. Elisha's told them in verse 1, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gates of Samaria, in the gate of Samaria. Then the Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? It wasn't a statement, it was a question. And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And there were four leprous men at the entering end of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? I wonder how many sinners just sit around and wonder if there is a better life to have. They look at their life, and even though they may have all the money in the world, and even though they may have everything that they think they need, but yet there is an emptiness and a hollowness on the inside. And here's what they said. Why do we sit here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. So we can't go into the city. They're starving to death in there. If we sit here, we ain't got nothing. Now therefore, come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they will save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall but die. Boy, that's a hope, ain't it? What kind of hope is that? I mean, seriously, what church? What kind of hope is that tonight? That the world would have, that these four leprous men says, well, we'll go over to the Syrians, we'll go to the enemy, and if they save us, that's great, and if we die, we die. Boy, it's some more hope, ain't it? And yet we sit in here and we sing, and we shout, and we clap our hands, and we smile, and we raise our hands, and people all around us are dying and going to hell. And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. But man, that hit the jackpot, hadn't it? I mean, think about that for a minute. These boys that just a few hours ago had no hope. Had no hope. They went into the camp of the Syrians, and there wasn't nobody there. And all the chicken in the world was still there for them to eat, and all the gold and the silver, all the money for them to put in their pocket, that they're carrying it all off and hiding it. They've ate till they can't eat no more. They're full and they've got more riches than what they know to do with. Boy, hadn't God done us like that? Man, didn't we really just stumble into something when we got saved? Really didn't know what we were. Listen, all they wanted to do is find a little bite to eat. I mean, that's all they wanted to do. They just wanted some help. I just wanted a little bite to eat. I needed some help. And when they got there, they got more than what they bargained for. Woo! You know, when I got him, I got so much more than what I bargained for. Oh boy, I appreciate God tonight. But here they say it. Now they've got more than what they bargained for, but boy, it's good. And they're running from tent to tent, and they're just loading up their pockets. And boy, they're learning everything they get, what they've got. And then they said one to another, "We do not well." This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. They didn't forget everybody else. They about did. Boy, they'd seen everything they got, and then they got to looking around and began to consider everybody else, didn't they? Them lepers, they looked at each other and, hey, their belly was full and their pockets was full and they had went and hid stuff. And boy, then they began to consider everybody else that was back in Samaria. And they began to think about how hungry they were and how poor they were. And boy, they didn't have nothing back in Samaria. But boy, God had made a way that was just astronomical and miraculous. That God done something that they could be fed, be full. Have everything they need. Ain't that what God done for us through Jesus Christ the Lord? Ain't he some more Savior? Boy, we all ought to shout it right there. You know what they done? They had compassion on their people because they said, "We do not well. This is a day of good tidings. And we hold our peace." God help us not to do that. He said in the book of Matthew 5, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Our light needs to shine toward Christ. You may be a soul winner tonight, and you just keep going and you keep doing what you need to do tonight. But I'm telling you, friend, that when we lose our vision of the gospel, we've lost it of sinners, and people around us are dying and going to hell. God ever bothered you hard about things? I stopped down at the shop one time. It's been 2-3 years ago. And I was actually going to talk to Jacob's brother, Aaron. Had it in my mind. It's what I was going to go do. And when I got in there, Jacob wasn't there. Or Aaron wasn't there. Well, Jacob wasn't there either, but Aaron wasn't there. And he'd gone with somebody else. And there was one feller left in the shop, and that was Patrick. And Patrick's just as lost as a ball in high weeds. He knows he's lost. And he knows he needs to get saved. And I went in his office there and opened my door up. And I said, "Patrick," I said, "where's Aaron at?" He told me. And I said, "Okay, good to see you, buddy." And got ready to shut the door. And it had to be the Holy Spirit. Because as I got ready to shut that door, it's like God said, "Are you not going to say nothing about me?" Just open the door back up. Now, in every place of business, you can't do what I done. But the place that Buddy Gallion and Mitchell Gallion runs, I've known Buddy to pay a man time and a half and set him on a stool and talk to him. And pay him while he sat there and talked to him about what he needed to do about some things. It's a little different when you go into that facility. You know, when you got a facility that loves God, You can get away with some things, is what I'm saying. And I went in there and opened that door, and three times I stood there and I talked to that boy about getting saved.
what Jesus had done for him at Calvary and what he needed to do in his heart. And three times I asked him, I said, Patrick, don't you think you ought to get saved? Do you want to get saved right now? And I thought by the second time, I mean, I could see them tears welling up in his eyes. And I thought, okay, boy, this is about to happen. And he'd blow up on me, you know. He'd back up. And finally, by that third time, it was just time to go. I'd talked to him enough. But I'd sowed that seed. He said, well, he didn't get saved, preacher. No, he didn't get saved. But I seen him for what he was. And I told him what he needed to do to get saved. It ain't up to me to save them. It ain't up to me to twist their arm and make them get saved. But it's up to us to tell them the gospel. See, that's where we miss it a lot of times. We think that because that we're not seeing somebody saved right away. I still believe God had that in order that day. I'm telling you, that old boy knows he's lost. He said, because if he told me, you know, he believes one way, he thinks one way, but he says, you know what, if you're right, I'm in trouble. I said, yeah, you are in trouble. He got enough sense to realize that. Church, if we lose our vision of the gospel, why Jesus came, people's going to perish all around us. Number two. He said, where there is no vision, the people perish. And I'm not going to spend a long time on this because I want us to be able to come and pray if you need to come and pray. But when we lose our vision of people that are around us that are hurting, then we let people perish around us. We think everybody that comes into this church has got everything okay. I thought about this while I studied this afternoon. I thought about folk that have come into this church that were hurting, and we were a help to them. Boys, let me say this. When you title this tonight, make sure to put on our edit for the radio, okay? So I'm going to say some things that I don't want on the radio. I remember when Brother Frankie and Miss Sue came, and They had been hurt. They really had. If you knew what was going on, and I don't know who was to blame about what, but they'd got hurt in church, and Miss Sue, she told me more than one time. She said, "Preacher, I'm so glad you let us come over there and join your church, and just be able to lick our wounds, and sit there, and heal up." Sometimes that's just what people need to do. They just need to be able to come. They don't need people judging them. I mean, that book's already judged them. Don't misunderstand me. We're not going to overlook sin. We're not going to do that. But I'm not preaching on that tonight. I'm telling you, friend, that sometimes we lose the vision of people that's hurt. I remember when they come, and they made some of the best church members we ever had and help in this church. Brother Frankie, if we done anything here at the church, he was here. He may not have drove a nail, he may not have cut a board, but I'll guarantee you, he'd have been here to hand you the board to cut, and he'd have been here to hand you the board to nail up, amen. And the thing about Brother Frankie is quiet, and he kind of just blended in to just what was going on, but that man could sit down and talk Bible with you if you wanted him to. He knew his book. He really did. I thought about Brother Caldwell and Sister Caldwell when they came. He told me on more than one occasion, he said, and so did Sister Brittany, before that he went to pastor, he said, I'm so glad that you just gave us a place to come and sit down. And if you knew what had went on in their past and other churches and in their family and knew how they were hurting when they got here, just you all being a friend to them helped them. Just you loving on their children helped them. Just you being kind to them. You didn't know what. See, I knew what had happened. I knew what was going on. But see, you may not have knew that. But you know, the shame of it is I look back over the years and I look back over times that I've missed it sometimes. of people that sat in this church and heard him. And I've had no vision for him. And as your pastor, I've missed it. And that bothers me still to this day. That breaks my heart. That I didn't have a vision for that. Whether I've been aggravated with people, I won't say I've been angry at people, but I've made excuses for the shape that they're in. And you say, well, preacher, it's their fault. Yeah, it might be the fault for the shape they're in, but that don't mean that we still ain't supposed to love on them and have a vision that they're hurting and that we can help them. I'm talking about saved folk. I'm talking about family tonight. How many in your family tonight, if they hurt themselves and you say, well, it's their fault that they got in this. You know, it's like that good Samaritan over there. Well, it was that fellow's fault that he ended up the way that he did. He shouldn't have never left Jerusalem. I have no doubt about that. But he left Jerusalem to go to Jericho. Actually, the Bible said to go down to Jericho. And he fell among thieves. I know sometimes that people are their own worst enemy. You know, sometimes I'm my own worst enemy. And sometimes I look at people and I'll say, boy, if they hadn't been immature right there, then this problem wouldn't be caused. Well, maybe they were immature. But they're still hurting. I mean, have you ever been hurt in church? Have you ever been hurting spiritually? You ever been hurting mentally and needed somebody just to help you? You say, well, God's always... I know the Lord's always there. I know that. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you tonight, sometimes people just need some help, man. I'm not talking about petting on folk when they're in their sin. I'm not talking about that. We say sometimes that, well, it's their laziness. You know, sometimes people get down and they don't know how to get back up. Unless you've ever been there, you really don't understand that. So, and unless you've ever fell in a hole that's deeper than you, and deeper than you can reach, you really don't know how to get out of that hole. And sometimes spiritually, people get in a hole that is bigger than they know how to get out of. Am I making sense tonight with that? The shame of it is we may not kick them while they're down. God help us, we don't kick them while they're down. But you know the shame of it is we don't do nothing. And over the years, I've went back and I've looked and I've watched how things have played out and I've seen folk hurt. And you say to yourself, well, if they don't care no more about their own self and their own spiritual life, why should I? Because, friend, you really don't know where they're at. And I don't know where they're at. But you know, he said, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate and be not wise in your own conceits. Sometimes that's the way we get. Sometimes we say, well, I just don't understand. You don't have to understand. Sometimes people need a phone call. They need a card in the mail. Sometimes they just need somebody to put their arm around them and tell them that they're praying for them and love them. And if you ever need to talk, I'm right here. Sometimes, you know, that's all people need to do is just talk. I know y'all know this tonight. And I have been so guilty over the years. I've just said it's their own fault. Don't they know better? And maybe they do know better, but man, sometimes just somebody just helping, having a vision, just to call them. Man, God's told me. Remember one time he told me to call somebody and I did, and I'm still paying for that. That thing still lives in my mind today. If I would have just done a little different right here. If I would have just showed a little care and a little concern, right? I was so aggravated at that point in time. And I was so... I don't want to say I was mad because dogs get mad, but I was angry, at the wrong thing. See, I'm just telling you tonight how your preacher is. See, I sell my heart out into this church, you see. And you watch people just do dumb things sometimes. And you watch Satan get in between that thing, and he gets between you and somebody else, and then everybody's forming their own opinion of why people are the way they are, and they must be mad at me, and somebody else has said, well, they're mad at me, when really he's just got in the middle of things. And if somebody would have just went over to somebody else and just said, hey, how's things going? Is there anything I can do for you? I want you to know we've been praying for you. Years ago, when we looked at, I may not even put this on the radio. I remember years ago when we were looking at WNR and WCPH to buy those radio stations. The man who owned them at the time, like I told you before, sometimes when you're a preacher, people either want to tell you everything or they want to run away from you. And I remember when I called and started talking to him about buying the radio station, that fella just needs somebody to talk to. You know, sometimes that's all folk need. They don't need any advice. They don't need you to tell them anything. They just need somebody to talk to. Have you ever been where you just need somebody to talk to? Just need somebody to talk to. I know God's in heaven. I know that. I know you can bow your head, you can lift your head up to heaven, and I know you can talk to Him anytime you want to. And thank God He'll hear and He'll answer back. I understand that and I know that. But church, we sit here and say that we love sinners and that we love church people and that we love each other, and we're too busy. You know, He said, where there is no vision, the people perish. I don't want to do this no more. No, I don't want to do it the way it's that we do it sometimes. I don't want my life to just go on and miss sinners. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to go on and miss people that's hurting in our church. You say, are people hurting? I don't know what's going on in anybody's life sitting here tonight. I really don't know what's going on in your life. But I can tell you, I've known over the years what's been going on in some folks' lives. And I've missed it. I don't want to do that no more. I don't want to miss hurting people. Because you know what? There may come a day that I'm hurting. And I need somebody. And what happens if nobody's there for me? What happens if God's people never shows up for me? We say we love sinners and want to see them get saved. What are we doing, church? We say we love each other. What are we doing about it? It's by our heads tonight. We won't have no music. We won't have no singing. If you want to come and pray, you come and pray. If God has spoke to your heart, there's some coming right now. If you need to come, I want you to come. I want you to come. What are we doing, church? Do we see sinners? Do we see folk need help? Folks around the altar, if you need to come and pray.